You're listening to the CEO Series with Carl Moore on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Welcome to the CEO Series. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University. Each week, the CEO Series takes you inside the minds and lives of some of Canada and indeed the world's top leaders to discuss strategy, leadership, and today's pressing organizational issues. And some of the world's top leaders have spent time with us, like Justin Trudeau, Mohamed Yunus, Nobel Peace Prize winner, and Joanne Liu, International President of Doctors Without Borders. This show gives you a thin, well, perhaps not so thin slice of the kind of thoughtful leaders leading some of today's most interesting organizations. Today, I'm delighted to be in Montreal speaking with Krista Dickinson, CEO of Telefilm Canada, Canada's premier financing partner for feature films from development to post-production to marketing. Krista, thank you for joining us today.
Carl, absolutely my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Krista, tell us about your early years. Where did you grow up and what was your family up to?
Well, believe it or not, I lived in seven countries. So born in Vienna, then moved to Moscow, Brussels, Ottawa. You're probably guessing why. Dad was a Canadian diplomat. From there, we went to Cairo, Seoul, boarding school in Normandy for a couple of years, and back in Ottawa.
So you're either really messed up or you're very flexible. I'll go for the flexible view. So, but growing up like that, you were always the kid coming, the new kid in town.
Yes.
How did you learn to deal with that?
I got used to my own company and that of my sister. So I really liked, you know, quite a bit of alone time. And it takes me a couple years before I really, really, you know, warm up to people. But then, you know, you're in with me for life.
Of those countries, which is the one that stands out the most? Not your most favorite, but what that stands out in your memory the most, do you think? Because that's quite the collection of companies.
The one that stands out the most for me was Normandy, because it was an experience when I was 10 to 12 and I was in boarding school without my parents. So it really, really, really had an impact on me. And it was very severe education, very hard. Mm. Yet at the same time, it felt a little bit like going to camp in Canada, which I didn't have that experience. So it had the most impact. In the country that I loved the most, hands down, Cairo. So being in Egypt was just beautiful. Love the culture, the smells, the language. So I was very excited about that.
Have you found a good Egyptian restaurant in Toronto?
So no, actually no. There's one that's there's a Middle Eastern one, but I don't think it's Egyptian. Madame Levant, right nearby where I live in Leslieville. But there's a lot of Middle Eastern fusion around, like tabbouleh, which I go to all the time.
So when you were in Normandy, you got a French accent.
Yes.
Did you have to kind of change it to more of a Canadian accent, or did you maintain that throughout your life?
So, oh, wow, such a great question. So what I do, people say that my accent's more international French, and depending if I'm speaking with my colleagues at Telefilm, it has a little bit of Quebec to it. Finally, I've been able to say some expressions that, you know, at first that they were making fun of me, but, you know, I try to do it.
So it's the French in Quebec is a little bit different than France.
Totally.
On a very practical level.
Yep.
But I guess when you think about it, I lived in England 5 years, and the British, there was words I didn't know what they were talking about when I first moved there. And again, you know, the accent is quite different in England. So I guess an interesting parallel there. As a kid, let me ask one other. Your dad was an ambassador, a diplomat.
Yes.
We are told in business to be more diplomatic.
Yep.
What does that mean on a practical level?
To me, I think it's really to listen, to be courteous at all times, to treat people with the respect that you would want, and to always assume that you don't know everything. And I think diplomacy is a certain level of high standards when it comes to professionalism, simply put.
Okay. Did you get to meet any prime ministers?
100%. Absolutely. So met Jean Chrétien, met Justin Trudeau, met Brian Mulroney, sure. You know, and I frequented all kinds of different levels of other foreign diplomats. You know, Leila Parlavi, the Shah's daughter, was my best friend when I was in Egypt.
Wow.
Boarding school, I was with, you know, princes. So the two princes of Denmark at the time. So that privilege and doesn't faze me,
You can sit down with anybody. Today we're in Montreal speaking with Krista Dickinson, CEO of Telefilm Canada, Canada's premier financing partner for feature films. So as a kid, what did you want to do, say, in high school? What was your dream to be at that point?
So I really wanted to be a documentary filmmaker, so I kind of went down that path, and I'm sure you'll ask me questions about my career, but that didn't last long, but that's where I started, and that's where my passion was when I was young.
So it's creativity,
storytelling, you know, truth telling to a certain extent, and being able to bring stories to people that are not necessarily readily accessible. And that's what I saw with my parents being abroad is certain situations that people didn't really, you know, it was early disinformation, but we didn't have that word then.
Yeah, it's interesting because back 10, 20 years ago, journalism was seeking the truth in a better moment. But we see today that journalism is all over the map, and you kind of have echo chambers. I mean, do you see that happening in your sense of the media around the world?
Absolutely. So, you know, I was in Dubai just last week, and I was listening to European and international news there. The way they report it is so different than Canada. You know, it's not about breaking news. They actually go to the root of the story. So I think it's different values, it's a different culture, and what is it that we value? Here, I think in North America, it's about who's breaking the news first. And really strong journalists still go back to that value of accuracy. Is the source, you know, are you double checking your, if not triple checking your facts?
Yeah, no, for sure. What did you study in university?
Film studies. So I did a BAH in film studies at Queen's. I did a minor in Spanish with all my little electives. I was like, let's do a minor because I love culture and languages. And then after that, I went on to do an MFA in film studies at York University.
Okay. So it was something that your education was leading you to that goal that you had in mind.
100%.
You're clearly a leader today.
Yes.
When did you first say to yourself, Krista, you may be a leader? At what age was that approximately?
It never dawned on me until I started to really do well in debating. In debating, you do it as a pair and as teams. Mm. And I was in my early teens, around 15 years old or so, and I really led the group to win municipally, provincially, etc., on the bilingual debating team. And I realized that I could get people to work together for a common goal.
So is that leadership? So this may be unfair, but what is leadership to your mind? What is leadership?
Whew, I think it's different for different people. For me, it's really understanding what one is trying to achieve, listen, be empathetic, and to then really go after clear results. That's leadership. I think everybody has a different style, and it's not about being a cookie cutter. And I don't emulate one single leader, not at all my style. I'm like happy to be myself. I think that the strongest leaders lean into who they are, and they surround themselves with people who can actually fill in those gaps.
So you're an authentic leader is what we're looking for in leadership. So what you see is what you get. Like, you're not a different person at home.
Nope.
Who you are at work is Krista.
Correct.
When you were starting out as a young leader, there was a lot fewer women leaders.
Yes.
What advice would you have for young women today, thinking about how you grew as a female leader?
So I would say be very clear about where you want to go and get advice from people that have achieved something that you want to achieve and that are not, you know, that are outside your circle. Because there's so much navel gazing, really getting access to different circles is going to make you stronger and you're going to learn something.
So today, many fewer hurdles for young women than back in your day, my day.
Yeah, that's
Hopefully.
True. I hope so. We have an incredibly strong representation of women at Telephone, which I'm incredibly proud of. But it's also about making sure that people have access to promotions and the right opportunities and development. So there was a lot of hurdles when I was young in my career.
You're listening to the CEO Series. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and today I'm speaking with Christia Dickinson, CEO of Telefilm Canada, Canada's premier financing partner for feature films from development to post-production to marketing. Tell us briefly, you've worked at several different media companies. Give us the 2 minutes on your career thus far.
Okay, so from documentary filmmaking, sold a documentary to the CBC, Quaid and Flames, and irony of all irony, I actually applied to Telefilm for my next documentary and didn't get funding. It was a feminist topic, so, you know, maybe in the early 90s, not the right time. So I pivoted and I went to news. I worked at CTV News, at Can AM News, which in the day was the prime time show. And from there, I got quite quickly recruited to move to CPAC in my first managerial role. Why? Because I was bilingual. So that was, you know, the ace up my sleeve. Then I was recruited again to go to Rogers to start up a production company internal to there because it was Tier 3 was being launched. And that was, you know, at the time, 100 channel universe. Wow. Anyways, 16 years, three different, you know, business lines within the Rogers family. And that's when I was like, now I really need to do something extra for myself. So I went back to learn something. I went and took a governance course at ICD. And that afforded me the opportunity to move to not-for-profit. And that was my first CEO role, which led me then to Telefilm.
So were you on the air or more the editing side of things?
Always behind the scene. I've been asked to be in front of the camera and I'm like, no desire whatsoever. I love being behind. I love post-production. I love pre-production, production, post-production. And you know what? That rule of three applies to everything you do. It's the same thing if you do business.
What's the rule of three?
So it's rule three is you've got to plan, you've got to execute, and then you've got to follow through.
But, I mean, you're quite articulate. I think you could absolutely be on air if you wanted to. And they must have said, why don't you go on air? Psychologically. We won't go into it. We don't have time for psychology. But so I'm just curious, like, why would you not want to be on air? Why is it you prefer to be in the background?
It's not fulfilling to me. That's not how I define myself. I think that, you know, I really, really define myself by motivating teams, seeing the results, and being part of meaningful change. And for me, being the figurehead from that perspective, you know, photo ops, all that, that's not what gets me up in the morning.
I guess it takes all types.
Correct, yes.
So we need both, absolutely. Today I'm delighted to be speaking with Krista Dickinson, CEO of Telefilm Canada. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series. Next up, we'll talk about what is Telefilm Canada and what's its place in the media industry here in a country, indeed around the world.
Top-notch insight from proven leaders. This is the CEO Series with Carl Moore on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Hello again, I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series. We're speaking with Krista Dickinson, CEO of Telefilm Canada. So right off the bat, what is Telefilm Canada?
Okay, in a nutshell, Telefilm Canada is one of Canadian Heritage's crown agencies. There's about 18 of us. And we provide public funding to the sector, the film, the audiovisual sector. We're here to foster its development, its growth. Now, this means from ideation, so development, through to production, to reaching audiences. So that means funding Canadian film festivals, funding talent if they're selected in international festivals to go there, and also, you know, theaters and training institutions. And at the end of the day, we're really looking at the entire ecosystem, making sure that Canadian stories are being told and they're reaching audiences at home as well as abroad.
Roughly how big is the budget?
Oh, it keeps growing these days, which is good because we've worked really hard on that. About $150 million.
And how many employees approximately?
We have just around 227. So it's not approximate, it's specific. 227 employees.
Why do we care to have Canadian productions? Why not just American or British or French or whatever? Why does it matter to the world, or at least Canada?
It matters because it opens doors around conversations, you know, cultural diplomacy, but also it is an economic engine. Mark my words, we're talking billions of dollars, and it attracts that the talent attracts also service work in Canada and the halo effect across other industries, that it be catering, that it be hotel, that it be tourism, that it be lumber, you know, for the creation of sets. This is not insignificant. Actually, we are larger than agriculture and lumber put together, all of culture. So if we go above and beyond, you know, audiovisual.
How did you get the role as CEO, and how long have you been CEO, and how did you end up here?
Tell us a little bit about that.
Okay, so 4 years and counting as CEO of Telefilm. Before that, I was CEO of a trade association provincially called Interactive Ontario. So it's digital media, so still in that universe. And what I did there is I also pulled together all my peers and really invigorated the Canadian Interactive Alliance, so a national version, which really got me exposure to Ottawa and lobbying and connections there. So that's how my name was, you know, at the top of the list when I was recruited and appointed as CEO of Telefilm Canada.
McKinsey's talked about tri-sector leaders.
Right.
And saying that the problems of the world are too big. They can't be solved by business, government, or NGOs. It's the three working. And tri-sectors are people that understand the agendas of all three, which you seem to be one of those rare people. And you probably have to be over 45 to get there.
You're correct. I'm well over 45.
Well, no. But it's something where when you think about the agenda of government versus business versus NGOs, mm-hmm. how are the agendas, how are they different in your experience?
I think they're complementary, and usually there is an overlap. So it's always about seeing what is the common value, what is the common gain, and working on that. And then the ancillaries come with it. So it's always about that. At Telefilm, for instance, you know, we, during the pandemic, oh my goodness, we felt like the industry was going to be decimated. And we pivoted really, really quickly. And I'll tell you why. Telefilm funds based on projects. So for 50 years, we evaluate based on projects, not companies. And then all of a sudden, we had emergency funds and we pivoted to make sure that the companies would survive. So we were funding companies based on historically who's come into our pipeline so that they would see the day to stay in the street, in the industry, to keep up the jobs for when they could actually, you know, start production again. Which happened? Why did it happen? Because again, members, you know, so producers came to us and said, we've got a real problem, Krista. We're ready to go and shoot a film. We can't get insurance. We can't get COVID insurance. Yeah. Without COVID insurance, we're dead in the water. So the production associations, the guilds, everybody worked with public agencies provincially and Telefilm federally and the government, and we put in place the short-term compensation fund, $150 million of coverage that allows them to shoot. And you know what? We had a record banner year in 2021.
You're listening to the CEO Series. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and today I'm speaking with Christia Dickinson, CEO of Telefilm Canada, Canada's premier financing partner for feature films from development to post-production to marketing. So in one sense, the strategy didn't come from your vision, you sitting, thinking deep thoughts, looking out your window. It was lots of conversation, lots of discussion, coming up with what we call an emergent strategy.
Absolutely. It's about listening, 100%.
But it's something where the federal government, for its faults occasionally, really helped this industry pull through and prosper. So for their problems, they really did a great job in some ways.
They truly, truly, truly did. And I think everybody recognized that the role that they had to play, and you know, everybody was playing very well in the sandbox, and we've learned so much. I think that we've leapfrogged through that. For me, as you know, a newer CEO within the federal organization, yeah. I learned so much about the mechanisms of the Treasury Board and, you know, bridge financing through Vote 5 and all these type of things, which actually became quite, you know, instrumental as we start navigating new areas that we have to expand into.
So do you report to a minister?
I do. So I actually report to four people. I report to a board chair. I report to the minister, currently Minister Rodriguez of Heritage. I report to PCO and PMO. So that is my reporting structure. It's a bit complicated, but we get through the day.
So there's not one, like, I guess the minister is the boss. Mm-hmm. If you had to say mm-hmm. one boss, that would be yep. the minister.
The relationship with the Crown Agency is arm's length. So really, it's about, you know, proactive disclosure to the board and the ministry when needed. So it is arm's length.
It's really because I interviewed the Minister of Transport a couple weeks ago.
Right.
The minister, rightly, is a politician representing, mm-hmm. you know, as a member. And they may or may not have some background, but the deputy ministers really know what they're talking about, and the ADMs and so on.
Correct.
So the bureaucracy, so a good minister's got to listen to their people because he or she generally doesn't have 30 years in it, almost yep. certainly.
So you're absolutely correct. I spend way more time with my deputy minister than the minister. The deputy minister and I have, you know, build a strong working relationship. We're on the phone, you know, almost every 4 weeks or so. And those bureaucrats are phenomenal. The whole team there works very closely with me across government relations, finance, marketing. Also, you know, the when I mentioned Dubai, a lot of trade missions. So a lot of work happens that then goes to the minister's office.
So Telefilm helps finance Canadian films and so on. Does it help sell them outside Canada as well?
Exactly, it does. So Telefilm is responsible for the Canadian pavilions at the largest marketplace. So this is, you know, MIPTV, it's Cannes Film Festival, Berlin, you know, Venice, Sundance, etc. And we do that on behalf of the whole industry. So a lot of marketing and sales happen in those. That's where the big sales happen.
So you didn't get to go during the pandemic, but that sounds like, to go to those film festivals, sounds like a nice part of the job, to be honest.
It was. I went to Cannes once and Berlin once.
Okay,
But I've been. It was enlightening.
Any movie stars you've ran into?
Of course. Yeah, always, right? That'd be Sigourney Weaver, or yeah, of course.
Are you still a bit starstruck, or have you kind of just come to terms with that?
I'm always starstruck when I know my kids are going to be impressed and I can show them a photo. That's what matters to me.
So you get some selfies or whatever.
Yes.
Very cool. How do you lead on Zoom?
So first of all is I over connect and communicate. So it's going above and beyond communicating, it's connecting. And I do it in multiple different ways. I do it above and beyond the screen. I send written hand cards to all of my staff a couple times a year. So that they know me, that they've got a little surprise in their mailbox, their home mailbox. And then, you know, I pull together my executive leadership team and we connect once a month on Zoom for just catch up with our staff. And you know what? The participation is nearly 100%. The great thing is to just see those little pop-up reactions that happen when people are speaking and the fact that they stay on to just chat. So I think that we've gotten closer. It's counterintuitive, but we've and because also we're in four different offices across the country. So we have offices in Montreal, Toronto, Vancouver, and Halifax, and we can connect all together.
Today I'm speaking with Krista Dickinson, CEO of Telefilm Canada. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series. Next up, we'll talk about the future of Telefilm and the whole industry more broadly.
Exclusive access to some of the most successful leaders out there. This is the CEO Series with Carl Moore on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Hello again, I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series. We're speaking with Krista Dickinson, CEO of Telefilm Canada. What's next for the industry? Looking forward 2, 3, 4 years, what's your predictions for where we're going to go from here? Or is it going to be pretty similar to what we're doing today?
I think that we're seeing partnerships and co-production absolutely explode, and that there's going to be greater need in different countries for that minority or majority co-pro. We're breaking ice right now, you know, with doing the first co-production from an Indigenous standpoint. We're doing an Arctic summit, etc. So I think that there's going to be an awful lot of that. And above and beyond anything else, we're seeing a great change in emerging voices from diversity among the talent pool and elevating those voices. At Telefilm, we pivoted where traditionally among our guidelines is that the script has to be majority in either French, English, or an Indigenous language. We've now opened that up to welcome diverse other languages other than those. And I think that means that all of a sudden there's going to be some talent and some IPs that are going to come in that we haven't seen before. And it's going to differentiate ourselves. And I'm very excited to see them go.
So EDI is a big issue at Telefilm in terms of not only employees, but production as well.
Oh, yes. And we look at equity and representation from the inside out. So if our organization hasn't gone through a massive overhaul and training when it comes to unconscious bias and racism and really a reflective, you know, organization, we have to do that work first, which we have, and we still have more to do. And we're doing that in our programs as well.
So you have white privilege.
I most certainly do.
You know, in a great upbringing, a lot of experience. So that's something that gives you a step up the ladder ahead most of us.
I would agree.
So, well, that's great. I mean, first is recognizing it. What do you do? What's the next step after you've recognized it? How do we move forward after seeing that?
It's really about making sure that that for me, it's about surrounding myself with people that are not cookie cutters of me. I really, really need to not listen to someone who is my copycat and giving them that opportunity. You know, for instance, at the end of my term, I'm hoping that I will be passing the baton to someone who is from an equity-seeking group. You know, one of the things that I think is incredibly important is that people that have white privilege like I do not sit and hold on desperately to those privileged positions. We have to make room for others.
I read a column with a colleague, a doctor, Indigenous doctor, every 2 weeks, the Globe Mail, called Indigenous Leaders. You mentioned about Indigenous encouraging Indigenous production. This may be an unfair question, but how are Indigenous productions different than non-Indigenous?
Oh,
is there any sense
I love that question, Carl. They really are, because they go to the community and they ask a blessing, you know, on the script, how they're going to approach it, how they're going to approach the material, who's going to be cast, how they're going to treat the land. How do they do this? Through something called pathways and protocols, and they respect it. At Telefilm, what we do is we have an Indigenous lead who interacts with the community in any of those projects that come in. We have an envelope that's set aside for Indigenous production, which is $4 million annually. We often surpass it in the regular streams, which is what we want to see. That's a measure of success. We have an Indigenous jury. We have an Indigenous working group. We support the Indigenous screen office. And we do subtle changes, but that are meaningful changes. So back to language. You know, before we would insist that a script would come in either English and French. Well, no. Send it into any Indigenous language you wish to, and we will pay to have it translated and assessed. And it's really about listening and working with community. Right now, most recently, for instance, at Telefilm, we have launched our very first Eco Responsibility Action Plan, and where we're getting a lot of guidance from is our Indigenous colleagues.
You're listening to the CEO Series. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and today I'm speaking with Christia Dickinson, CEO of Telefilm Canada, Canada's premier financing partner for feature films from development to post-production to marketing. When we think about diversity, we could have a woman who looks like you, your sister,
sure,
who is an accountant, therefore looks at the world in a different way than you do, as a more creative person. So race and gender are two very clear things that we can often spot, not always, but, you know, it's something which is more on the surface at times. But there's other forms of diversity. What are some, a couple other forms of diversity that come to mind?
Well, there's neurodiverse. You know, neurodiversity is very important to make sure that those individuals, that community, feel included. So in some of our job offers, we're now starting to connect with AAMI, an organization within that community, to ensure that we're actually creating a bridge and for specific roles, wanting that skill set in that way of looking. And then, of course, there's the 2S LGBTQIA plus community. And it's making sure that those people from those community actually feel welcome and it's a safe place to be at Telefilm, that it be to work here or that it be to come into our program. We're totally changing our website to make sure that our language is more accessible. What I mean by more accessible is that we're not speaking necessarily to someone who has a master's degree, right? So it's about using plain language that anybody can understand. We have a program called Talent to Watch. It's for emerging filmmakers, whoever's going to be their very, very first feature film. That's a long time before you get to that. You're usually doing music videos, corporate videos, short films. So it's your first feature film. And we've you know, worked very closely with academic institutions so that, you know, we're getting the best projects that are coming through. And then we realized, we went into a consultation, cross-Canada, pan-Canadian consultation, and we realized we're not reaching the socioeconomic talent that can't afford to go to university. So we've got a direct access stream. So that's what I mean about, you know, being inclusive. You know, there's so much more we can do, though, Carl, to be perfectly honest. So we have not solved it, but I certainly hope that we're going in the right direction.
I had a chance to sit down a couple times with Daniel Lamar, who ran Cirque du Soleil until he's executive vice chairman now. Mm-hmm. Incredible creativity. Like when you go up there, you go, don't do that. Like they're going to hurt yourself. Like it's just incredible the things that the performers can do. You have the same sort of thing that telefilm is one of the most creative places in the country. How do you manage creative people better? What have you learned?
Wow. That is, I wish more people would ask me that question, because that is what attracts employees to telefilm is the creativity. And then I'm like, well, hold on a second. We're responsible for millions of dollars. So it's about really sticking to strategic planning, doing very, very healthy strategic planning, looking at risk assessment, you know, doing an appetite tolerance. And then really, I've put in a new role here, which is a PMO, not PMO like in Ottawa, process management office, right? Okay. And going through our processes and accompanying us with project charters. And it's really a game changer for us. So that brings that business acumen, you know, on dit en français, ça nous encadre, you know, like that framework that we need to not just be creative, to be both. And creativity and business are not mutually exclusive.
Today, I'm delighted to be speaking with Krista Dickinson, CEO of Telefilm Canada, Canada's premier financing partner for feature films from development to post-production to marketing. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CO Series. Next up, we'll talk about whether Krista is an introvert or an extrovert and how she spends her free time.
They made it, and they're telling you how. You're listening to the CEO Series with Carl Moore on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Hello again, I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series. We're speaking with Krista Dickinson, CEO of Telefilm Canada. Are you more of an introvert or more of an extrovert?
So I read like an extrovert, which is probably how you read me right now. I'm actually an introvert. So I know how to, and how do I do it is I really, really like to be present in the moment and I shut out all the other noise. But I've learned how to do that with time. I need to recharge. I really need to recharge. What I missed during the pandemic is I don't have very much alone time because I'm Zooming absolutely constantly. There's no travel time for little points of, you know, peace. So that's my answer, Carl.
So what do you do to recharge? Read a book, walk a dog?
Everybody knows Russell. Anybody could tell you that they know Russell, my dog. I love my dog. I walk a lot. I walk a lot with my husband. And, you know, like a lot of people, we used to like to travel. So we, you know, looking forward to planning the next thing constantly. I've got something on the go that, you know, makes me happy. But my secret is I puzzle. And I mean a good old, you know, 1,000, 2,000 piece puzzle. It just cleans my mind and it relaxes.
Yeah, my wife's an introvert and does the same. It's interesting, but I don't have the patience for it. What I'm doing a book for Stanford called We're All Ambiverts Now, arguing that to be a senior leader like you, as an introvert, you've learned to be an extrovert, and the extroverts like me have got to learn to be introverts. When is an introvert a better leader? Like, what is it about the introverted side that makes you a better leader?
Well, I've never really looked at it that way.
What I would argue that you're a better listener as an introvert.
Right.
And you're less apt to...
Thank you so much. You're answering my question
for me. You don't
have
to dominate.
Thank God. Okay, there you go. That's the answer.
Okay. So in theory, you have great strengths. Not in theory, but you do. But you have a weakness or two. Just saying. Have you found people that go, okay, this I'm just not great at, but Susan or Sam is?
Always.
So you think about... So what's one or two weaknesses you occasionally wrestle with?
Weaknesses at first is to rush into something. So I I've done it everywhere I've gone, is I rushed into something and then I learn, okay, hold on, slow things down a bit. So that's a great weakness of mine. And then also I would say that I like most people, like to get things right. And I've been better about it's not about being right. It's about doing the work, following through. So I think I'm getting a bit better at that one.
So maybe a little less perfectionist, but sometimes not adequate, but well is yes. better than being perfect.
That's exactly it. So it took me a long time to understand that 80% is fantastic. It's often better than 100% because you're compromising too many other things along the way when you're trying for 100.
Okay. So you enjoy walking a dog or walking a husband.
He's going to love that when he listens to you, Carl. I'm like, yay, Peter, listen to that.
So how old are your kids?
Our daughter's turning 20 next week, and our son will be 18 in July.
So they're in school, I presume.
Yes. Sophie is in environmental studies, very apropos for this day and age. Second year at Guelph, and Hugo's in grade 12.
You're listening to the CEO Series. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and today I'm speaking with Christia Dickinson, CEO of Telefilm Canada, Canada's premier financing partner for feature films from development to post-production to marketing. So part of it is like you'll miss the kids, but in some sense, as a parent and your husband, you're not done. You're still mom for life.
Yes.
But compared to when they're small, you're done-ish. Is it much easier?
It's so much easier. It really, 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 really is. There's no question. If I have one regret, and I just have to say it, and we scratched on it a little bit when we said that was different for me when I was younger, is I did not spend enough time when they were newborn. So my first mat leave, because I was just so, I talked to you about rushing. I rushed back to work. So, you know, I was like, I want to get that promotion. I can't be out of the workforce. So my first mat leave was 4 months long. My second one was 6 months long. And those are my two regrets, that I did not take a full year each time.
I did some report with McKinsey last year. I interviewed 70 fathers and 70 mothers of newborn-ish.
Yeah.
And what we're suggesting is that mothers and dads take much longer leaves.
Yeah.
And so that'd be something you'd support.
100%. And you're right, both of them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Since you're not a hypocrite, you encourage young women and men who are having kids.
Absolutely.
Okay. That's what you should be doing. So I'm great to hear
okay,
that.
No,
that's
passed
what,
that
no,
one.
That's what we said.
Okay,
it's
the
exactly
professor
right
and you just tested me. I love it.
So what's your take on work? I mean, you have two Gs, Generation Zs, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. in your family, but looking here, you'd have a lot at Telefilm. Are Zs different in your experience? And how do you manage them, if at all, differently?
So I love having Gen Zs. I'm a Gen X. And what I see is that they bring new innovation, even when it comes to presenting. So I have one who does this interactive presentation with Mentimeter. Love it. And then what I find with some Gen Zs is that they skip some protocol or process. Because they're so used to everything happening all at once in real time. So I have my eye on that, what I would see as a blind spot within a Gen Z.
What book are you reading these days?
Okay, so I've bought it, and it's by my bedside. It's called Third Culture Kid. You've heard of that one?
Yeah.
Okay, so Third Culture Kid by Ruth Van Reken and Michael Pollack, Growing Up Among Worlds, and it's really meant for a person like me, around an expat. And it's around, you know, delves into cultural complexity, diversity, inclusion, transitions for highly mobile communities, which has made me really agile as far as moving from all these different, you know, corporate to not-for-profit to public to, you know, being over traveling at the beginning of my tenure at Telefilm to not traveling for 2 years and being able to adapt quite quickly. But I'm really interested in finding out more of, you know, how do I relate to cultures and what can I do better to be more inclusive? So that's why I've picked up that book.
We love travel. We had a 2-year break. We're coming back to it, but differently. When do you have to be in the room with someone, and when is Zoom all right? Have you got any early principles in your thinking?
I think that when there's big employment conversations, hard conversations, celebrations, so those extremes of where the conversation's just not business, but we're going to talk about emotion. And even if it's not personal, a lot of people read it personal, you have to be in person.
How do you keep in shape these days?
Well, I'm not quite as in shape as I used to be, like most of us. Okay, thank you for forgiving me. Mainly eating well. I don't eat out very much. We do one takeout because of Hugo being at home a week, but really, you know, lots of salads, greens, etc., lots of fruit, and walking a lot.
So you get like 10, 11,000 steps a day. Do you have a goal in mind?
I don't. I just know from a time perspective.
Yeah, sure.
So I walk an hour every day. And on the weekends, my husband and I go on a couple hour walks each day, Saturday and Sunday.
And you get to a park on the weekend and that sort of thing.
Yeah. And I used to go to the gym. I'm hoping to get back to the gym.
Last question.
All right.
We talked about what book you're reading. What book are you going to write?
Oh, wow. Okay, so this is the third person that tells me I have to write a book. You're not saying I have to, but you're asking me which one.
Oh, no, I'm insisting. So what's the book about?
I think it's about taking risks, gambling, and believing in yourself.
Okay. So that'd be an inspirational book for all of us, I guess.
I hope so. At least young leaders, yes.
All right. This is the CEO Series. Krista, thank you for joining us today. We also like to thank our technical producer, Marco Campagna, and our show producer, Youssef Sahoni. Thank you for tuning into the CEO Series. À la prochaine.